All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker for Good Friday, March 29th, 2024.
Should have never told you that.
I would have found out. 6:50 will be the first pitch. Tonight, Chris Bassett against Aaron Civale, the Jays 8-2 winners over the Tampa Bay Rays in the season opener. Last night, a result, not just a result, but a result and a manner, or a victory, the manner of which brought, I would think, smiles to a ton of Blue Jays fans. Certainly did to us. We were watching the game, and I've got to think that watching his team score runs the way they did also brought a smile to our next guest. He is John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. John, thanks so much for joining us on Blair and Barker today. Congratulations on getting that first one, out of the way. Before I let Kevin ask the in-depth questions, just a little bit of housekeeping here. Do we have any idea as to the status of Justin Turner, and will the lineup tonight be the same as the lineup last night? Because it's not out, at least as I've seen, it's not out yet.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, there was a few smiles going on watching the offense kind of do its thing last night for sure. JT is good to go. He'll be back in there tonight. And it's the exact same lineup as last night.
Why tinker with it if it's working? I made the
way
point.
Way to go, Jeff.
There you go. I'll tell you what, man. Stand back and stay out of the way. We had a caller ask Kevin and myself whether or not the result last night changed our view of the team. I understand what he was saying, and it's a great talk radio question. But the one thing I did kind of think about last night, John, is, and I'm sure you feel the same way, it's nice to talk about stuff in spring training. It's nice to have faith that guys are going about doing it in spring training. But when the season starts and the lights go on, yes, everybody knows it's just one game and you've got a lot of games left. But it is nice when the stuff you're working on in spring training shows up in the first game as well, isn't it? It's preferable to being shut out 12-0.
Right, exactly. I think spring training numbers are what they are, really. And what we were encouraged with was just the way the guys were going about their work and their at-bats and the conversations that were going on. So, yeah, last night's result, I think, you know, it was a pretty it was exactly kind of how we wanted it to roll out. You know, for what we've been talking about, what we've been working on, what Donnie's been preaching, it was nice to kind of get that immediate result. And, you know, now it's just continuing to do it. You know, it's not going to be perfect every single night. And, you know, everyone knows that, but this is a hard game. But I think to kind of, you know, have it come to fruition, you know, right in front of you against a really good team was a really good way to start.
John, whenever I hear you guys talk about do damage at bats, it sounds simple. Like, it is simple. That's don't swing at that thing because I can't hit it hard. I can't hit that to the moon. I ain't going to swing at it. But once you start having that approach, you start thinking about maybe I got to have some at bats with two strikes. Have you guys had conversations about two-strike approaches? Because if you think about it, there's only a couple of guys in your lineup that I think have true two-strike approaches, like a Bo, like a Kevin Biggio. I mean, maybe you could throw Kiermaier in there. I don't think Kirky has one of those. Like, it's just not a true, I'm going to choke up, I'm going to widen out, I'm going to try and slap this to right. Have you guys had conversations about two-strike approaches?
Yeah, everyone. I mean, when you get to that point, the conversation is basically, hey, you're going to battle. You're doing everything you can to spoil some pitches or put it in play. But before that, I think, is where we've made the most strides so far. I mean, not in one game yesterday, but I think just collectively over the last month is where, you know, really honing in on where you do damage. And then, I mean, the biggest part is how do you get a pitcher in that zone, right? They have the same info that we have, and they're going to attack each hitter accordingly. But just, okay, it's knowing what you do damage on, but then again, laying off of the things that you're not going to do damage on until you get to two strikes. So that's been the conversation, you know, where I think in years past it maybe hasn't been as deep as that. I mean, it's similar, but I think just having the guys understand where they really handle the ball, and then in turn, how to work in at bat to get the ball where you want it.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this, and this is awesome because now you're starting to think about your lineups really good, which is kind of cool. I've heard you talk about piling runs. If somebody asks you how a lineup does it, what would your answer be?
Exactly how we did it last night, really. I mean, I think, you know, you have the homers. You know, George gets us going. Cav hits it. Vlad hits it. But then Kirky's at bat just with the single up the middle. Bo's double down the line. You know, the situation's going to come up, right? And I think when guys are convicted in a plan against a specific pitcher, not just a starter, that's where you can add on runs, you know? So it's kind of just, it's taking the situation out of it almost. Yeah, there's guys on base, runners in scoring position, whatever it may be. But it still comes down to what am I going to do against this guy? And, you know, odds are when guys are on base, you're going to see more mistakes. Those are the two at-bats that stuck out to me, Kirky and Bo yesterday, that kind of, we didn't see a lot of that last year to where, okay, you get back into it or you take a lead and you kind of, you know, stall a little bit. But I think adding on those runs just by having a convicted approach against a specific guy is the difference.
You know, I was thinking about this last night watching Bo and Vladdy, and you'd be the perfect person to ask. I don't know if either one of them would come out and say, I feel I have something to prove. I don't necessarily know if they're wired that way. But, John, these guys were highly touted as minor leaguers. They've come up. They've had impressive years, one year in particular for Vladdy. You know, Bo's had years where he's had a lot of hits. They haven't had postseason success. Do we maybe sometimes underestimate how much elite athletes, and they are elite athletes and elite players, how much postseason success does mean to them, and that maybe, just maybe, these guys feel they have to prove something this year?
Yeah, I mean, they want that, like we all do, and like our entire fan base does. You know, it's like, yeah, that's what's going to separate you from being really good to being someone that's really, you know, remembered for a long time. So that's kind of on the back burner now. I think that they understand that they're really good, but it's just you got to get there for one, and then from there, you know, hopefully you can, you know, turn that page a little bit and roll deep into the postseason. But I think more so than anything, you know, in conversations with them this spring and in the offseason, it's kind of like, okay, we just need to take another step professionally. And, you know, whether it's individually or professionally, it's just like, okay, we're not that young anymore, and we need to kind of take hold of what we're trying to do. And then hopefully that just translates over the course of the season. And then when you get to the postseason, it's just more of the same. So I can't speak for them, but, you know, I wouldn't doubt the fact that they want to prove everyone that when the postseason comes around, you know, they're going to be out there performing and getting the big hit or whatever it may be. But it's the process that leads up to it is what they're focusing on right now.
John, whenever I was standing around the batting cage in spring training, I was telling Jeff this a little bit earlier, that Vladdy was not trying to force distance. Like, you know, last year it was, I'm giving it everything I got, coach. It just ain't going where I want it to end up, right? It's not going over the fence. That's my best bolt.
Right.
It just seemed like in spring training he wasn't doing that. And in that ball last night he hit, oh, I mean, it's just free and easy. He's going to hold his finish, right? That's sort of what the great ones do. It's not how you start with your swing. It's how you finish. Do you have any idea why now the ball is just jumping off his bat like it hasn't the last couple of years?
Well, for one, I think his mechanics are really tight right now. I think his hand movement has been minimized a little bit. And when your mechanics are right, you make better decisions of what you're going to swing at. And I think that's kind of where he's at right now. And for whatever reason, hitters go through ups and downs where, you know, mechanics are such a big part of your swing. If you lose it for a little bit, it kind of sets everything back, if you will. But Vlad's approach, Kev, you hit the nail on the head. Spring training was just living left center to right center and with the right swing plane. You know what I mean? So you can say that all you want, but if your mechanics are not allowing you to do that, you're kind of, you know, swimming upstream, if you will. So I think his mechanics are good for one. And he's just really focusing on staying left center to right center with the right swing plane. And then when he does that, I mean, with the way he hits the ball off the bat, he doesn't need to force any kind of distance, as we saw last night.
Okay, how about, you know, whenever I talk to Pete Walker in spring training, he yelled at me when I asked this question. So please don't yell at me. I said this year, well, you guys were sixth worst last year and controlling the running game.
You could say 24th.
You gave up a lot. Sounds well, there's bad. No difference. Potato, potato. You gave up a lot of stolen bases, and it just seems like, right, that's sort of the pressure that these teams, you know, the Rays are trying to do it. They did it. They were trying to do it last night. Is there some, you know, point of emphasis being put on this from coaches or, you know, from pitching staffs that maybe slide step, hold it a little longer. I mean, you know, pitch timer is going to be a little harder to do this. But have you been thinking about this, trying to control that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about it all the time. And I think with the rules now, you know, coming in last year, it's promoting base stealing. You know, the MLB has said that. Everyone kind of knows that with the clock and all the other disengagement rules. But you can say it a million times, and I think what happens, but not just our pitchers, but pitchers around the league, they kind of get, you know, lost into what they're doing and what pitch they're trying to execute. And the really, really good ones are the ones that can do both. They're executing at a high rate, and they're also taking into account the game situation, whether it's working the clock or having your A move all the time or mixing in a couple slide steps when needed. You know, we have DeMarlo running the running game, just like, you know, Donnie doing it last year. I thought they did a great job. It comes down to the pitchers giving the catchers a chance, really. You know, being a former catcher, you know, if the pitcher's dropping a 1-5 to the plate, you don't have much of a shot. So sometimes that's on the pitcher, sometimes it's on the catcher, but it is a conversation that happens every single day with Pete and the staff, and you target exactly who's going to run, whether it's Randy or Siri or Caballero here. Like, we know that. And then it just comes down to when you're in the situation, you got to kind of take a step back and say, okay, I'm not just making pitches. I'm figuring out a way to counteract what they're trying to do to me on the bases.
John, what do you need to see offensively from IKF to play him? I shouldn't put a number on it, but I say five or six days a week.
I mean, just his profile, you know. I mean, he puts the ball in play. He's gonna run into his fair share of home runs, and he understands how he fits in a lineup. You know, we're not looking for him to, you know, step in and you know, I don't want to say be a driving force of our offense. It all works together 1 through 9, but it's just being himself. You know, it's being a baseball player, moving a runner, getting a guy in, you know, grinding out an 8-9 pitch at bat. It's just how he complements our lineup. So you just need him to be him. You know, he understands game situations very, very well. He understands what pitchers are trying to do to him very well. And it's just, you know, putting a good at bat out there every single time is what we're looking for out of Izzy.
Do we have any idea yet, or do you have any idea yet when Kevin Gausman's turn will come up?
Yeah, I definitely have an idea.
Oh. And it is.
No, we'll see. We'll probably have it finalized later today, or even tomorrow. It's going to come down to whether he throws Sunday or Monday, last game here or first game in Houston. So we're still kind of putting the finishing touches on that, but you know, kind of working in conjunction with Kev a little bit and how he's feeling, and you know, when the next time he gets off a mound today, and see how he's feeling. But we kind of have Plan A and Plan B. Right. And but have a pretty good idea when it's going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, so clearly he feels, you know, knock on wood, clearly he feels that there's nothing complicating the decision right now other than what he thinks, basically, is the way I would put it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, you can look at matchups here versus Houston and right. You know, a lot of right-handers in each lineup. And the bottom line is you want Kevin Gausman on the mound as much as you can, you know, and whether that's against a division opponent or an American League force the last 10 years. You know, you want Kevin Gausman out there. So it's a lot of things get factored into, you know, in terms of how many days rest it would be from when he pitched in Bradenton, what his next term would be like after an off day next week, things like that. You don't want to do too many off days, but you want to give him a little bit of, you know, ample time to keep ramping up. So all those things are kind of going into the equation.
I'm intrigued when we talked to Dan Shulman about this as well a little bit earlier. The bottom of the order, the decision to have Biggio hitting ninth and Kiermaier hitting seventh, what did that come down to? Well, I understand it's you know, I don't know if it's potato necessarily, but what sort of helped you determine which of those two lefty hitters would go in particular spot?
There's a few things that go into it. For one, I think, you know, with the way they're both swinging the bat, you know, Cav got a little bit of a late start to spring, for one. And then two, you know, where you feel most comfortable pinch hitting in a lineup, is it going to be when a lefty comes in at seven, you know, seven mm-hmm. through nine with two lefties? Are you going to pinch hit at seven? Are you going to pinch hit at nine? And then kind of what each guy does against certain pitcher types, right? So, I mean, Cav yesterday was a typical day from him. A couple walks, homer, you know, you want him to, if he's doing that, you want him to get on base at a pretty high clip and then kind of set the table for George and Vlad and Bo. So that's kind of where we landed. It could change, you know what I mean? It could change, you know, between 5 to 9 kind of deal.
Right.
But I think with the way Kev was swinging it, Kev had a really good spring, I thought. And, you know, just understanding the type of hitter that he is. And then really it comes down to how do you pair Cavan's skill set? If he's going to be getting on base at a pretty good rate, do you want that in the 7 hole for an Izzy and a KK, or do you want that in the 9 hole for George and Vlad?
John, do you have a blueprint for Alejandro Kirk when it comes to keeping him sharp with his conditioning? And what I mean by that is offensively, look, his bat looks quicker, and that's what you want to see from him, right? He's sitting in them legs a little bit more, right? And that means he's fresh and raring and ready to go. How do you keep it that way? Because we did have a caller call in after the game last night and mentioned, you know, you got a big lead late in the game there because of what you're trying to ask Kirky to do. Why wouldn't you just take him out and bring in Servin? Is there plans maybe to do that down the stretch, or is it, here, Kirky, your name's in the lineup? Go get him.
Pretty much, hey, Kirk, your name's in the lineup, go get him. You know, I feel like we feel a lot better about where he is physically compared to last year with him being in town in January, working his way through spring training, not missing any time, and just the work that he's put in. You know, there's a ton of objective numbers that we have from strength and conditioning and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Kirky's in a great spot. He is as strong as he's ever been. And he knows, you know, with Jano being out, he's going to get the lion's share of the duty back there. So there's going to be days he's not going to catch every game this series. You know, you try to line him up for the 3 against Houston before an off day, before we go to New York. But Kirky's ready for it. You know, I think that he'd be the first one to tell you that he feels pretty damn good right now. But there's definitely a plan with him, you know, being a physically demanding position back there. And then, I mean, with everyone else, you know, if there's a spot where we can get him out, we're going to get him out. And, you know, Kirky's no different. But for right now, he understands what's in front of him the next couple of weeks, and he's ready to roll.
Yeah, that's some great stuff. This last one before we let you go. Jimmy Garcia and Chad Green, what are some of the challenges for you on how you're going to use them?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want them to do anything differently than what they've been doing, right? Just because you got Jordy and Swanee out, you know, they're going to be thrust into a couple, you know, higher leverage spots. But you like to keep at least one of them available each night for, you know, later in the game. And it's going to lead to other guys, whether it's Nate or Trev, like they did yesterday, to pick up an inning. You know, albeit that was, I think, a 4- and 5-run lead, whatever it was. But they're going to be pitching in games that are going to be closer, you know, to kind of bridge that gap to those two guys. So it's not much different, except you want to have one of those guys ready to close a game. And then for them, it's just not put any pressure on yourself because, you know, you may be used to coming in the 6th or the 7th, and now it's the 8th or the 9th. It still all comes down to going out and making pitches, which at this point in time, with the way they threw the ball in spring, and especially late in spring, they're ready to do.
John, good stuff. As always, we appreciate your time. Go get them.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time. Talk soon.
Take care.